Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chicago!
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Everybody, we are live!
Are you guys grinding, or are you guys having fun?
We're having a little fun.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Spend some time with our friends Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
I'd want to be nowhere else but here.
Parkinson Spiegel, they're amazing! Are they?
Yeah, but are they?
I go on the score and talk with Matt and Danny.
Yeah, Danny Parkins, one of the old-timers.
Sometimes says this is the show where things happen.
It's a disgusting way to do talk radio.
Danny and Matt do an excellent job.
A little too much Parkins.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Strange twists and turns on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
We're the show where things happen.
Everybody, Ice Cube!
Cube, thank you for answering our text and putting up with our ridiculousness.
Anytime.
Bob Odenkirk.
How are you guys doing?
Mark Wahlberg's here.
Chicago, we love you, baby. Come on.
Shane, wake up. Tanny, we got to have another little taste because Spiggs is here. Huh? 5 o'clock somewhere.
Every time I come on this show, old school great radio.
Johnny B.
I'm riveted to the score. It's the last bastion of talk radio.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that.
Parkinson Spiegel, these guys are going to be incredible and amazing. And they started talking over my promo for them at the beginning of the show. And here we go, Jim. Tony! Jim, we can start the show right now.
I love our Friday open. Sounds so fun. What a show.
It is a fun show, Danny. Are you just realizing this? We have a very fun show.
Am I a part of it?
You are. Some would say we have fun in spite of you, but I don't validate those people that say that.
Who are those people?
I didn't run into any of them last night at Bernstein's poker event. There was a lot of love for both of us in that room last night, by the way.
Yeah,
a lot of love in the room
evening.
In general, really.
It was a lovely evening. Congratulations to Dan and everyone at Camp One Step. It was lovely to be out there and support our teammate and such a wonderful cause and make some donations, both with poker chips and cash.
Yep, it was good to hang. And if anybody's watching on the Twitch stream, I'm wearing a T-shirt because I don't mind being relaxed on a Friday, you know? And it's a What About Chicago T-shirt in honor of the Radiothon. You look outstanding. I believe you're in a shirt and tie with, like, an incredible haircut, exactly the right amount of product, and you're off to MC the preschool fundraiser. Do I have that correct this evening?
Yeah. I'm the MC for the fundraiser. Steph is on the fundraising committee.
Dude, take my money. I would like to support the hardscrabble kids of the North Shore.
Yeah,
I really
right.
Would.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's parents an excuse to support their kids in their school and buy some stuff. But she's on the fundraising committee. And I mean, honestly, like I get items donated and then I also donate my time and my talents. So really speaks
right
the night is about me.
Yeah.
I mean, I get a microphone in front of like 300 of my neighbors for about 45 minutes to bilk them out of some money.
I'm looking forward to it. You should find out which one of them has a snowblower. This would be a good time.
It's a good point.
To find that out, you know, use this opportunity.
It's an excellent point, but yeah. So I got after this, I will get over there and open bar for 4 hours.
Oh, come on now!
Not a bad gig.
You had an open bar last night. You got an open bar tonight. Look at you! You're killing it, Mr. Man.
It's true.
I,
I,
I think we can do this. I think we can do this radio show here. A little post game after a big Cubs win, and a little pregame before what I predict is going to be a big Bulls win tonight in Miami. We squeeze right in to a glorious time slot.
And there's some glorious Caleb Williams that we need to get to at 5 o'clock because it is spectacular. But yes, we will do Cubs post and then Bulls pre with some Caleb Williams as the meat on that sandwich. But the listen, the Marlins are not good. The Cubs are good. Our guy Nico Hoerner, a big story. I thought the biggest story was, even though ease of opponent is noteworthy, Jameson Taillon having that type of control for his first start. 17 of 18 batters got a first pitch strike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what he had been known for. And so, obviously, we're not taking any sort of, like, solace or victories for one start against the Marlins. But, you know, Ian Happ apparently gets injured in this game and leaves with hamstring tightness. The injuries need to stop. But also, guys need to come back and produce. So if that is the version of Jameson Taillon, or anything resembling this version of Jameson Taillon is the version that the Cubs can expect this season, that is a massive, massive win. It frees up what you've been talking about a lot with long relief guys in the bullpen. It will just make a lot of things easier if you can trust him every 5 days.
For sure. And he's going to pitch. We know the arm injuries are always kind of looming, but this dude, 30 starts last year, 32 the year before that, 29 the year before that. And you need him to go out there and just give you solid stuff for him to get 5 innings here and start number one. And I agree that he looked good, but yeah, I just want him to be out there and available. And the domino effect is already evident in the way that Council talked about it before the game. And then after the game, we get word. Javier Assad goes in game one tomorrow. Shota Imanaga in game two. They got to cover 18 innings, obviously, in the doubleheader tomorrow. Ben Brown's available. He's in the bullpen immediately and available. And so he could get a bulk run tomorrow. Council saying that having him stretched out is a good thing. To be, as you referenced, to be that one of those bullpen bulk guys, like he used Wesneski the other night, like maybe he would like to use Keegan Thompson if he proves trustworthy. He was a little bumpier today than he has been. But Sunday is the one I'm thinking about, because that's Hendricks to start the finale. And if Brown doesn't get used tomorrow, then you've got Brown lined up to maybe relieve Hendricks and go as long as needed if it doesn't go well. I mean, who knows?
Do you think
maybe
they'll
go
back from tomorrow? It's going to be tough to do with covering 18 innings.
Yeah, it's possible. We'll have to see. I mean,
depends how deep Shota goes, probably.
And Assad. If Assad and Shota both go six, and if one of them's a laugher, because the Marlins, they're prone to giving you a laugher.
Right, and then you don't need to use any high leverage guy. You could pick and choose.
Yeah, yeah. You can use some of your other guys, some of your other arms. I mean, I like that he leaned on Colton Brewer for a couple innings today and a laugher today. So we'll see. I'm just, you know, I'm with you and with, you know, the analysis that we've had about Kyle getting, you know, getting several more starts, and Jed spoke about it again today. But Ben Brown is a bulk option this weekend doesn't mean that he's out of the running for a start coming up the next time through. And we get word that Justin Steele's going to throw a bullpen on Sunday. So all of this stuff is happening pretty quickly for the Cubs rotation, and that's could only mean good things for the bullpen and beyond.
Yeah, the more good options that they have, obviously that makes the Kyle Hendricks urgency accelerate, right? But it also makes it easier to skip him for a start or phantom IL him or something like that. But I want to hear what Jed had to say about Hendricks, but in a minute. Like, that's a negative story in the coming out of that game. They continue to play really well. We obviously have an affinity for Nico Hoerner. He's good to the show. He's on the show all of the time. And it didn't look like he started great. I no longer at all think that that is anything other than just a stretch of baseball that we would have completely ignored if it would have happened in June or July or August. But it was at the start of the season, so we noticed it. We asked him some extra questions about it. I mean, he's already got 4 multi-hit games. He's got a bunch of extra base hits, bunch of doubles now. The defense is spectacular. Tyone is praising him over the top after the game, giving him the Dexter Fowler treatment. Like, I just – that he looks fine, right? Full stop, he looks fine. He looks good. He's a three or four war player. Nothing to worry about here.
Yeah, you know, I still think that there have been some adjustments and some thought processes that did change for him. And it took him a little while, but, you know, as him referencing the swing decision matrix that they have and Jed loving that he referenced that, and that's clearly more of a mandate. And I think you were onto it in terms of his approach and what we were seeing, a few more pitches and things like that. But either way, that dude has refound the groove and the confidence and is absolutely locked in right now and looks great at the top of that lineup against the lefty, obviously, today. But it just, you know, as Hap has slowed down a little bit, it's nice to see Nico picking it back up. And they win today without having to use Michael Busch. So Michael Busch, the number three hitter in all of baseball in terms of OPS. I believe that's what it was. Altuve at the top and Mookie. And then Michael Busch were the leaders in OPS, as I looked this morning.
Yeah, the strong silent type, Garrett Cooper, over there at first base. Nice little scoop on that Nico Hoerner play.
Yeah, for sure. And Garrett Cooper can play, man. And, you know, it's interesting. Wisdom coming back is the other thing that has some domino effect here. Wisdom played right field today and then moved to third base. And I know that some people were like, why the hell is Patrick Wisdom batting second in this lineup? It's because it was against the lefty, A.J. Puk. So they wanted to guarantee Wisdom probably two at-bats against the lefty. If that was a tight game or they were trailing, I think Busch would have come in. And they would have shuffled things defensively, and Busch would have come in. Like Garrett Cooper would have gone out and played right, probably, or maybe Talkman or whatever, but Busch would have come in, and he would have been hitting second in that lineup spot. But because they were out front so much, they just went ahead and didn't change things. So it's just interesting. But Wisdom... I mean, look, with Madrigal in the game playing third, I think they like Madrigal better than Wisdom defensively at third base. I think we can answer that one now today, because you've got Wisdom out there in right field. And Patrick's going to play all over. Like the Morel thing of he could play at third or first. This is Wisdom now. Wisdom's going to play corner outfield spots and corner infield spots and DH against lefties as needed. His utility guy. And you saw him get that chance today.
He's going to be a great council guy.
Should be a really interesting fit.
And the hope is that you maximize the number of plate appearances that he gets, and he only gets plate appearances in advantageous spots, and then you basically minimize them so he doesn't ever get plate appearances in disadvantageous spots because he's not that good defensively, right? That's manager optimization for a guy like him.
Canario is way better defensively in right field. Canario, correct. I think, is better than Suzuki in right field. So defensively, I kind of wanted to see Canario and see him get some chances, and maybe we would have seen him in the second half of the game today, depending on how things went. But I don't know. I don't know how much Canario is going to play out there.
Do you think Canario's much better than Saya?
I think his arm is better. I think his arm is more accurate and stronger.
Yeah.
And he's a little.
I wonder if they would give it up for him on that if we asked Craig about it next time he was on, to rank his defensive right fielders.
I think we should ask him.
I don't know if he'd give him like a young guy that much praise over the $100 million player.
Actions over words. In spring training, there was at least one game, maybe two, where Saya started in left and Canario started in right. They were both in the lineup together.
Right.
And they had Canario in the more important spot. So I thought that was both an admission and a slow roll of saying, hey, Saya, we might do this every once in a while during the year.
Obviously Saya's hurt right now, but now Hap is hurt.
Yeah. We'll see. A little hamstring and hopefully
not.
Well,
they said hamstring tightness, and, you know, they'll see how he's doing tomorrow for the weekend, but he obviously already had a hamstring that really limited him in spring. So, if it's a re-aggravation, and he'd obviously been playing fine, but it's just that antenna goes up on something like that Yeah, it does. When it already happened.
You know, well, Mike Tauchman came in and had two hits. Were they both on the first pitch? I don't know. Like he's locked and loaded right now. It is Tauchman. It'll be interesting. I know we're getting kind of in the weeds, but it's fun when a team is good and they're the first team in the NL Central with 12 wins. I wonder who leads off against the righty if it's not Happ. If they leave Nico up there, or if Tauchman is playing, if they give him a shot back up there. It'll be, you know, with the speed and the bat control, taking good at bats.
Yeah,
be interesting.
I guess I would guess Tauchman.
Me too.
I would guess Tauchman. All right, let's hear a little bit of Jed pregame. You alluded to the domino effect with Tyone being good and Steele maybe coming back sooner than later and what that would mean, which obviously would be good things, but it also would make the squeeze potentially a little bit tougher on Kyle Hendricks. We were able to ask Jed about it early in the week, but here is how he handled the assembled media's question on Kyle Hendricks' struggles.
Obviously, I think that it's really important for us to, you know, to have him be a big part of the rotation. I don't think there's any question. You know, obviously the Steele's injury, game one tested us. We, you know, with Talion already out, and I think we've, you know, the young guys have come up and sort of they've done a really good job. But like, we're gonna have more injuries. We're gonna have more things happen during the course of the season. We have more doubleheaders, and you know, we're gonna need everyone to be able to pitch in. So I think it is really important that we get Kyle right. And you know, he's had, not to this level, but he's had struggles in the past and gotten through them. And I think, like I said, to me, the most important thing is that it, you know, the velocity is there, and I think that gives me some hope that like, you know, once he gets the execution right, that he'll be back. You know, clearly, I think it's been, you know, it's not one or two starts; it's been four. So obviously, I think that there is a level of concern. But I also would say that given his track record and given the fact he's gotten through some struggles in the past, this isn't the first time he has struggled. No one pitches for 10 years in the big leagues and doesn't have those kind of struggles at some point. So I think there's a level of concern, but I'm also very confident he'll figure it out.
Yeah, he gets a leash, man. He gets a leash, but it'll be interesting to hear from the fans if he struggles against a crappy Marlins team on Sunday. It's going to get uglier, talk-wise.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Sunday's a big start. It at home where he's been dominant historically, bad team. Could be going, you know, to lock in another series win, assuming a split of a doubleheader tomorrow, right? Most likely outcome would be a split. Mm-hmm. If he gets shelled and they lose that game and it burns the bullpen heading into next week, yeah, the pressure will get a little tougher. I don't think that he'd get booed at Wrigley. I don't think we're that close.
No, I don't think so.
You know, I mean, so like it's not that type of town. Like Kyle Hendricks not getting booed. So the talk from who, like, he has so much respect in that organization and in that clubhouse, and I don't think he'd be booed at Wrigley.
You know what? You know what they should do?
We would just be asking the question a little bit more frequently, and it would be deserved because of the depth of the organization and the expectations to win, but they're going to keep running him out there.
You know what Cub fans should do? Remember last year when the Philly fans hooked up Trey Turner and gave him the standing O every at bat because he was struggling mightily, and they're like, all right,
yeah,
we need him.
This is not that.
Oh, come on. It'd be a lovely moment on Sunday.
But Kyle's been here forever, right?
I know, but he's got the 12-plus ERA. Give the man some love. I would be on the stump for that if I was doing hit and run on Sunday morning. Let me apologize to everyone for missing hit and run again. Two weeks in a row, I'm subjecting you, I believe, to Chris Ranji again, who's actually, he did a great job last week. But
are you a part-time hitter and runner?
Even my Sunday driving, you know, I need somebody else to drive every once in a while. We have a big road trip next week, you know, so I got to take a little time off the drive on Sunday to get ready for our road trip next week.
And Spiegs, I don't know about you, but I don't think Danny took enough chances when we were driving to One Step last night, so I don't think I can approve for him to drive to Detroit next week.
I thought it was a very tentative performance
as
a driver.
It took no
chances. We hit the corner of Halstead and Grand, he could have easily made that right turn, but he was busy, distracted by Richard's Bar, talking about people smoking in there.
Talking to his kids on FaceTime while driving, by the way.
I was FaceTiming with children while driving.
While driving.
What chances do you want me to take?
And I'll say it again, Danny, they are not conversationalists.
They were eating dinner there was FaceTime, and they couldn't see me because my phone was hooked up to the Wi-Fi, so it won't let me turn on my camera.
My favorite moment of that, I don't think we even talked about it, but Eli having a big piece of macaroni and cheese on his cheek for a good long while. That was awesome.
My favorite moment was Danny asking Owen if he had a good time at gymnastics, and he said, no.
Yeah.
I didn't.
There was a lot there.
Honest reviews.
Yeah. We learned a lot about the family dynamic right there, didn't we, Shane? Just quietly observing.
We sure did.
Yep.
What'd you guys learn?
A lot about the family dynamic.
A lot about the family.
That daddy's got to keep the FaceTime camera off because you never know where he is.
Okay.
No, it just didn't turn on because the Apple CarPlay.
The car doesn't let you turn on the FaceTime camera.
Yeah,
God, Shane.
That's it.
I hate when you put me in the position of having to defend Danny. It's just so awkward.
We're Marta.
No, man, that was lovely. We got to hang out and get to know what it feels. The post-show FaceTime. They are the cutest. They're adorable.
Yeah, they're adorable. It doesn't always happen if I'm going straight home, but when I'm not going home, I like to, let them know. We got a routine. So if I'm not going to be there for bedtime, especially for Owen, who's definitely more aware of the whole situation, I gotta let him know.
You're doing a great job. When I was that age, my dad never FaceTimed me on the way home from work.
It wasn't invented. He would have if he could have. One more thing I wanted to play for you, Speaks.
Yes, sir.
Was doing the idea of, are they resilient? Can we call them resilient? Is it too soon to label a team resilient? Jed addressed the idea of resilience pregame.
It's early. I think that, I think we've had a really hard schedule, both in terms of opponents and just in travel and things like that, and weather here. So, I'm proud of the guys for sort of grinding through that. I thought at the end of that trip, I think it's a good result out there. Obviously, there's a couple games that got away from us that you wish you had back. Probably a couple games in Seattle that I'm not sure we deserved, so I think that some of that stuff evens out a little bit. But all things said, given the fact that in the first 3 weeks, we lost Steele and we lost Suki and then we lost Merriweather, I think it's been a really resilient group, and I think that's probably the part that is most exciting for me, is that we've been able to have some injuries and some setbacks. I think if we were 11-7 but we had played amazing baseball, totally healthy, and everything was going, I'd be less excited. But the fact that we've been able to do that with some real setbacks and some real challenges, and we lost some games that hurt, the 8-0 game in San Diego, the game we lost on Tuesday night, the way we lost that game, those are games that sting, and both times we bounced back the next day and played a really good game. And to me, that means a lot. We're going to have more tough losses during the course of the year. It's just the nature of this sport, and not having those things linger. Both those games were, I thought, really, those are probably my two favorite games of the year in some ways, because we bounced back and won a game the next day against against the same opponent.
Yeah, good stuff. After the bullpen failures, to still win the next day against the same team, take 2 out of 3, both those series on the road. I tell you what, man, 13 more games, and then the Brewers come in here on Friday the 3rd of May, and they're doing some good things. They're ahead of the Cubs in the standings by percentage points as of right now, and that's going to be fun. Council against the Brewers at Wrigley on Friday, May 3rd. At this point, you'd have to say those are the two best teams in the division. Pittsburgh's up there record-wise, but nobody really believes in them. The Reds have started at 9-9, Cardinals 9-10. It's very early, but that should be a great, fun atmosphere.
That'll be an awesome atmosphere. Cubs fans will bring it. It will not be as cool as the atmosphere when they go to Milwaukee. And I know that's counterintuitive, but that first series with Craig back in Milwaukee with all the Cubs fans that'll invade up there, some Brewers fans who will want to cheer, some Brewers fans who are going to boo, and Cubs fans who are going to cheer like crazy. Are they going to do a video tribute? How does the organization handle it? That is going to be great sports theater in Milwaukee. Cannot wait. That's true.
That is true, and that'll be on the 27th of May, 27th yep. through the 30th of May. For 4 games. That'll be great fun.
So We will get to talk some Bulls ahead of Bulls and Heat. You've already made your prediction known that you believe that they are winning tonight. But Ryan Clark and The Pivot, they do really good interviews. They get athletes to open up to them in a unique way. And Caleb Williams sat down with them in his apartment. And there's some stuff here that Bears fans absolutely need to hear. Packers fans are very angry at me online all over again. I can share how that happened.
Hey, and that's better than Bears fans being angry at you.
Yeah,
in my
this is the order is restoring to the world. And Matt Eberflus saying, we got a lot to do here. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
You are the number one pick. Keenan Allen,
yeah,
who is now a Chicago Bear, was at your pro day.
Yeah.
DJ Moore played extremely well last year. Cole Kmet, Ryan Poles, and the Chicago Bears have tried, at least and to me, succeeded in making Chicago a place that has the requisite pieces to have a young quarterback be successful.
Yep.
If that is the case, if and when, I think when, we hear Caleb Williams' name called first, how does he help Chicago win its first championship since 1985?
85 Bears. One is through my care, bringing the community and showing my care for all three levels of, for myself, of ball, for my teammates, and then for the community that makes game days, the game, everything, the city, lively and fun and enjoyable and all of that. And that's kind of three things is care. Care goes a long way. Places that love football, places that care about football, places that have the same, you know, goals and aspirations in mind.
Hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans.
That is Caleb Williams with Ryan Clark on The Pivot. And by the way, that care word is one you're going to need to get used to. It's the Caleb Cares Foundation is. So that's a bedrock principle for him. It's about mental health, destigmatization, empowering young people. We're going to get to know a lot more about the philanthropic side of Caleb Williams. But his foundation is the Caleb Cares Foundation.
There was one other voice right there. And it was Dick Enberg declaring the Bears a Super Bowl winner in New Orleans on a January day.
Yeah.
When Danny Parkins was conceived at halftime, for anybody who doesn't know.
Thank you. I don't know how you couldn't at this point.
Well, but that's Tanny hoping to be prescient. When's the Super Bowl in New Orleans next?
It's the next one.
Thank you. It's exciting.
Oh, we should be in New Orleans for the Super Bowl this year with the Bears in it, don't you think?
We should be in New Orleans right now.
That would be great.
Packers, Chiefs. Get excited, folks.
Oh, God.
That's not nice.
I can't wait for Jordan Love's first ring, Tanny. How about you?
Oh, my God.
I think Sucks is still on the table for him, actually.
So. I'm getting roasted by Packers fans online today.
No.
Whoa.
Just roasted.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Do they know how nice you are?
I'm really nice.
Yes.
Have they heard about the radiothon? I'm wearing a t-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I know.
You built a grocery store with your bare hands.
Do they know
overnight?
Do they know you're emceeing a preschool event for the hardscrabble childhoods of the North Shore?
Listen, North Shore preschools need money too.
Okay.
They do, though, Shane. They do.
Early childhood education is expensive.
I think you should build a cheese castle in second location. Maybe they would like you a
little
bit more.
Maybe they'd be nicer to you.
Yeah.
What about Kenosha? Or where are we putting the cheese castle?
What about Baraboo?
What about Baraboo?
What about the Dells?
Because I think... I hate Matt Spiegel.
Yeah.
Do you think the preschoolers are going to appreciate that you have a tie on a Friday?
It's not about them.
He wears it whenever Jameson pitches.
Jameson tie on.
He's got his Jameson tie on. Where has that joke been all of our lives? My
Italian.
God.
Italian.
Why do we have to wait?
But seriously, what's with the get up?
I'm emceeing this. It's a suit tie event tonight.
Okay.
It's for the adults. The adults aren't going to give money for the Hardscrabble.
There's a,
you know,
there's
childhood?
A DJ. There's a silent auction. There's a live auction. There's raffle tickets. It's very similar to the event last night, in which Dan Bernstein wore an Andre Drummond Big Balls t-shirt.
He did. Love that. He did.
Love that.
And his patented square dress shoes with his Kohl's jeans.
Did these youngsters ever consider picking themselves up by their booties and get the money themselves?
Yeah.
No? That's a good point.
Sell some Girl Scout cookies, losers.
Good point. They're 3 and 4 years old.
Yeah, they will. They will.
They don't need cookies? Or?
Actually, that's not the point.
Yeah. So anyway, Dick Enberg, you being conceived, Bears in the Super Bowl. We got a lot going on. Also, candlesticks make a nice gift.
As always, the guy is confident, Speaks. Caleb Williams is going to make some people uncomfortable with his confidence, with his swagger, and I am very much here for it. He is not afraid to talk about all-time greats, and that he is trying to be there, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, but I haven't heard any of this, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners haven't, because it just kind of crossed.
Yeah, it posted
today.
Very recently.
All right, so I'm looking forward to hearing Caleb, and we're also in this segment going to hear Matt Eberflus sing the seventh inning stretch. So
here's
a lot going on.
Caleb Williams on the pivot on going number one, the Fields trade, and the inevitability of Chicago.
There was speculation that people try to make it, oh, somebody else might go number one. We've known this the entire time, right? Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears trade away Justin Fields. On that day, when that happens, what's your first thought?
I was in the car. I was driving to a business meeting, and I'm listening to music, bobbing my head. I probably got on Drake, and I'm chilling. I'm in West Hollywood area, driving to a business meeting, and all I see is my phone explodes. Whether it's actual just regular fans, or whether it's ESPN, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. And I pick up my phone, and it's going off, and I'm trying to figure out what just happened, because it went from just nothing and maybe a couple of texts to just like phone just do-do-do-do-do. I end up calling a couple of people, and it's like, well, we know where their mind and heart is at this instance. Let's prepare, get ready, and handle things, you know, accordingly, and you know, still do our, you know, due diligence on the situation and things like that. But in that moment, it was just like, it was kind of like, wow, because I didn't do my top 30, you know, visit yet. They didn't have my medicals and things like that. So they have it all now, but it's nothing. But it was, you know, and had a good time in my top 30. But yeah, it was interesting right then in that moment, because it was just so unexpected in that instance.
The most, I don't say pressure. You're just so cool. So I don't want to say the pressure of it, but just different times coming off the Heisman, you know, Heisman season, going to the next season, or transferring, having to, you know, I would say prove yourself at USC, or now jump to that next level. Like, the pressure on you, or the excitement, I would say, from you, at what level is the biggest one? Or where was that time when you, like, you might have been up a little late at night, or you were just like, I got to get this?
I set my goals. I set my season goals every year, and then I set my long-term goals. Other than that, I mean, chasing those things or trying to get those things don't bother me across my mind as much. Whether that's you know, the way I walk, the way I talk, how I act, how I treat people, and then how I get on that field, and how it's a different person. That's kind of how I go about it. So I don't, you know, the got to get. All those things, like I set number one on my list a long time ago. It's, and once I hit them, or once I pass them and can't do them again, I remove them. And once I achieve them, or once I, you know, pass them.
Your list is your screensaver?
Yeah, my list is my screensaver. And
can I see it?
Yeah, my everyday screensaver. Yeah. I have a few other ones on here.
He's way more focused than I ever was.
He's way more focused than you are now.
It's a good line.
That's tremendous. This dude is more focused, calm, confident, and polished than almost any young quarterback in recent memory. I mean, seriously. It blows away anything that we heard from Mitch, anything that we heard from Justin. And I'm not saying that the results are going to be that much better on the field, although I really do think they are. But it's very obvious how polished and focused and smart this dude is as a young quarterback.
And confident.
Yeah.
Confident, man.
Yeah.
There was a quote on NFL.com about chasing Brady.
Yeah.
He wants to be the number one pick, and he wants 8 Super Bowls. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
By the way, the only thing that was more hopping after the Justin Fields trade than Caleb Williams' phone was Mitch Rosen's house, as the entire Score staff was there, you know, on St. Patrick's Day. It's the only thing more.
Yeah. No, I got to imagine that's a 1A, 1B situation.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right. A lot of people concerned about what Caleb Williams looks like. What's he going to look like on draft night?
Would a nail say number one pick next week?
Probably. Maybe.
I tell him, because I don't talk behind his back. I don't like the colored nails.
That's cool.
That's just chaining.
No, he's just chaining. Jimmy Butler does it, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
He paints his nails.
That's fine. Kid from Duke got a huge deal because of it. You said that you're going to be clean this week, and you said wait till you see what I got. What I wear. You had the Gucci suit.
And you said, and your ladies. It's better than that.
So can we get a preview here, what you're gonna be wearing?
The suit is gonna be navy blue.
Okay.
Some of the accents are gonna be silver. It's very classy. It's very Ryan Clark.
Gosh. He can come on the show anytime.
Ryan Clark suit, you know?
But it is
unique in the details of it. So when you see it, it's very classy. It's very, I'm going into a business meeting, but it's also like, it's me. I'm number one.
Oh, man. I cared about my prom suit. You know what I mean? Like, I was very into my prom suit. My graduation fit from college. Was very into that. I can only imagine how I'd feel as the number one draft pick. I would put a lot of unlimited money.
An inevitability of a lifetime of work and accomplishment and the ability to make a custom suit from Gucci or whoever you wanted. Yeah, I'd imagine
something you've been dreaming of since you were 9 years old. You know, I'd probably put a lot of thought into my suit as well.
Yeah, sounds like it. He said people should listen to the whole thing. He says at one point, like Kobe to Jordan, there will be similarities in his style to Mahomes and Rodgers because he studies and wants to be like the greats.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, yes, please. More of that. Do we have it? I'm sorry, Tenny wasn't. I didn't see it. I'm sorry. If we have that.
Yep. I might. On the rundown. Yep.
Well.
All right. I missed it then. My bad. I paraphrased.
So
it
favorite teams growing up, and Bears fans are not going to like this. All right. We know that the DC team was one of them, but there's another one in here that is going to get you guys all riled up.
Oh, my bad. It was. Yeah. My bad. I see it now.
Yep.
My bad.
I know.
My dad tried to raise me to be a Redskins fan, is what I knew it as back then.
Right.
Now Washington Commanders. I couldn't get into it. I don't have a team now. My team was Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers was there because of Aaron. I'm a player guy and Aaron Rodgers is my guy, but I couldn't join the bandwagon. I'm still Aaron Rodgers fan. He's still my guy, but I couldn't join the bandwagon of becoming a Jets fan. I couldn't do it. So I'm still an Aaron Rodgers fan. If he's playing for somebody, I'm a root for him and things like that. So. That's my answer to that.
You know what happens. You make all these off-platform throws, and you do some of the things that you could do with improv, and people compare you. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is the gold standard at the position. The closer we get to the draft, you are hearing that comparison more, the Aaron Rodgers comparison. As someone who grew up a fan of Aaron Rodgers, when you hear things like that, what does that make you feel?
Makes you feel good. So I mimic my game after, you know, it's like the –
Kobe MJ.
It's like the Kobe MJ kind of thing where you know, you watch and you mimic and you, you know, you okay, I'm gonna go try this.
while I'm training. I'm gonna go try this little foot pop. I'm gonna try this, you know, throwing my body this way and throwing it back over my head this way, and like he did versus the Vikings, in between, you know, 2-3 guys with a D in his face and things like that. So when I was like his first, second year in the league, third year in the league, so just, you know, trying things like that at a young age, trying things that Patrick Mahomes does, trying things that, you know, Tom Brady does, watching Tom Brady, and you can see in his eyes, like, okay, this is a switch that happened when, you know, so it's like I said, sitting back, watching, learning, taking in, you know, what I can take in and adapt to my game in my best way possible and make it my own. And some of it may look like some of what Pat does, some of what Aaron Rodgers does, because I mean, they're the best. And you know, to be the best, you know, you want to learn from the best. To be a leader, you got to first be a follower. And so, with that, I watch those guys, I follow those guys, you know, their steps and things like that. So, you know, to get to that point, to get to where they are, winning Super Bowls, being MVPs, or you know, throwing these crazy passes and things like that is where I want to be. I want to win Super Bowls. I want to be up there with those guys competing versus them.
Good, man. Anybody who's trying to be great at something should be watching and or listening to the best and stealing little bits and pieces, trying it out as you're growing. Right. I mean, it's only natural. Like the number of broadcasters that I talked to doing the PBP are like, yeah, so I heard Marv Albert and I decided I wanted to try and do that. You know what I mean? It's like, of course, that's how it should work. So I love all of that.
You think it's too early to make a 75-1 Caleb Williams MVP bet?
Oh, God.
It might be. And it was better to hear him say it than me paraphrasing it.
Stop. Please stop.
Right. By the way, I love Channing Crowder.
I just seen this so many times with the Bears quarterback, right? I
mean, we've seen it so many times with guys Danny likes.
That's what I'm getting at, but it's the same pattern.
Hey, know? Man.
It's claiming as the guy. It's the making the songs, which we haven't done yet, thankfully. MVP.
We will make the songs, Tanny, because this is how you get great. If this one doesn't work, we're going to try again in 3 years. Okay? All right.
Can I ask you a question directly to you, Danny?
Please.
Do you want us as in the collective Bears fan, to enjoy Caleb Williams?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, then you have to stop a little bit because we know your powers. So you have to stop a little bit. Just pull it back a tiny bit. We're like 5 days away, brother. We're 5 days away from this becoming a reality. We've been doing what seems like 18 years of coverage on Caleb Williams becoming a Chicago Bear. I need you to pull back just a tiny bit if you really respect us.
Yeah, it's just true. Happy 18th anniversary to Paul's position, by the way. It's been a great 18-year run.
Shane, I've got
Brandon Thorne, 5 minutes.
Caleb content, not for our draft show, but for the drive to Detroit.
Oh, no.
I'm
going to crash the car.
20 hours a week is not enough.
That's why I'm going to drive. I'm going to crash the car. No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Absolutely. Yeah, I know I get distracted and I go 50 in the left lane, but that's okay. It's better than crashing.
It's okay. I'm going to drive. I want control of our lives.
I'm sitting shotgun.
I want to executively produce our lives.
I'm going to be badgering you with Caleb facts.
Hey, that road trip is where things happen.
Okay? Ryan Porth is going to be glad to talk about those things with you.
Hey, we're 46 miles away from Detroit. Did you know that Caleb Williams had a 46-1 touchdown to interception ratio in the red zone?
Now, that I'd respect. If you have mileage marker related Caleb content.
Done.
Multiple times.
Done.
Can you try it out on Steph before we go? And then, like, if she says, yeah, that's fine, or if she says, yeah, that's too much, then you don't do it?
No. She feels like you do. No. I got to bother you with this.
Hey, Danny, did you see the combined score of the games when Matt Eberflus goes to Wrigley Field? Did you see this? He's been to Wrigley Field 3 times, Matt Eberflus. First time he was there as a Bears coach. Bears beat the Pirates 21-0. Second time he was there, they beat the Dodgers 13-0. Third time he was there was today. They beat the Marlins 8-3. They have scored 42 runs in the 3 games that Matt Eberflus has been to Wrigley Field for. How can you not be enthusiastic about that man? When he goes to Wrigley, the Cubs dominate. Book it.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear Matt Eberflus sing.
Coach Matt Nagy of the Bears ready to sing.
Uh-oh.
Cubs.
Uh-oh. It's the wrong guy.
All right, Cubs and Bears fans.
That was a joke.
Let me hear you. A one, a two,
he's on the rundown.
A three. Take me out to the ball game.
See, this is the problem right here. Just sticking the mic out the window. Sing, coach. Come on, coach.
Root, root for the Cubbies.
Sing.
One, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Bad. Bad and way too much sticking the microphone out the window to let the crowd bail him out. Step up and sing, coach. Go strong, even if it's wrong. My God. I have notes.
That's forget. But no, we'll just forget that performance, though, because if he does it like Matt Nagy, we remember it forever.
Coach Matt Nagy of the Bears ready to sing. Cubs lead 2-0. Here's the coach.
Cubs fans. Everybody, all the Cubs fans, y'all ready?
Shut up.
It's Ryan Porth.
Bears fans, you ready?
Shut up.
Gary, you ready?
Get your mouth shut.
And a one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
No. All right, we got one thing, though, that Matt Nagy does have the upper hand on. He's singing the song correctly. It's
He's
take me out
song.
With the crowd, not take me out to the crowd. You would never be taken to a crowd.
And he's singing every word. He's singing every word. If Flus was out there coaching, he's not just going to, like, let somebody else call all the defensive signals. Step up, for God's sakes. Even if you might say penis by accident and live forever.
Buy me some penis and Cracker Jack.
Highlight of the Matt Nagy era. Some people would say the Coach of the Year award and the 12 wins. I disagree. Spiegs is calling his shot on the Bulls. He makes the case. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show in Chicago. It's a very, very good show.
Afternoons on the score.
Yeah, he just caught me on my right foot. That leg kind of gave out to my left one, tried to catch me, and I just kind of tweaked my ankle a little bit. That same one that I was dealing with for the last couple weeks of the season that we were managing and figuring out. So try to tape it up, you know, take some more Tylenol and get out there. And I was kind of ineffective. So it was probably better to have some of those guys finish the game. And they did a great job.
You expect to play Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I do until I can't. So we'll see how it goes the next couple days. But my mindset will be to play until my body tells me that I can't.
That is Alex Caruso, and there's a bunch of injury news for this game tonight, Bulls and Heat, and the Bulls take on the Heat in the NBA play-in tournament. Pre-game coverage begins at 5:45, tip-off at 6. The only local broadcast of the game can be heard on 670 The Score and in Chicagoland on the free Odyssey app. Alex Caruso, Ayo Dosunmu, and Andre Drummond are available versus the Heat. Duncan Robinson is available for Miami. And, of course, the big news then, Jimmy Butler not available for Miami tonight. Bulls still a 1.5-point underdog in this game at last check.
How about Terry Rozier? Is Rozier out for sure?
Rozier announced out yesterday with Butler.
Okay. Yeah, so no Rozier, no Butler. That's two of the top four scorers for the Heat. Tyler Herro and Bam Adebayo are the other two. It has to be a Bam Adebayo superhero kind of night. And then they would need big three-point shooting from Herro and from Duncan Robinson, who has battled back problems and did not even play on Wednesday. So I think the Heat are too banged up, and I admire Heat culture, but without Rozier and without Butler, Bulls have a culture too, man. You know, we've talked about it, and you extricate the conversation from whether they can win a title or in this situation, even whether they can hang with the Celtics in a potential round one. They have very much a try-hard culture, And DeMar DeRozan has a serious will going on. And look, DeMar was quoted yesterday about wanting redemption from last year's loss. He said, quote, "I remember that plane ride back home vividly. Everybody was frustrated. That feeling sucked. I know for me, that's one thing that's on my mind once I realized we were going back to Miami, not to have that same feeling." They are motivated to win this rematch of a play-in game, and I think they're going to. Without Zach LaVine being around to make some bad decisions down the stretch, it'll be Coby White with those decisions. I think the Bulls take this game tonight, and then they get the Celtics in round one.
See, to me, I mean, I love the confidence, and everything that you said obviously makes sense. They're now a two-point underdog in the game. I mean, the heat culture is real. The Heat are going to come to play. They're excellently coached. They're obviously at home. This game just feels like it's inevitable, like last year, to come down to the last couple of minutes of the game. It's a toss-up. This is not Atlanta. Miami is going to play hard. They are not going to go down easy like Atlanta did. So I do not have a strong feeling either way. I think you play this game 10 times, the Bulls win 5, the Heat win 5.
I have two more things for you. The players, if they win this game, the Bulls, and they make it to round one, they get $453,000 apiece. That's the motivation.
That would motivate me.
Right? That's pretty good. By the way, the NBA playoff pool has jumped dramatically in the new CBA. We can get to that later in the playoffs. But, and then here's the other thing. If it is Bulls and Celtics 1-8, game one would be Sunday right away. Game two would be Wednesday, and then game three not till Saturday. So there is no Bulls game against either night of the NFL draft. I just wanted to ease your concerns as far as that goes if they do advance to battle the Celtics.
Wow. That's excellent timing for us.
I agree.
That's
Sunday,
excellent news.
Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. We got that.
Great.
It's all good.
Tough to do Wednesday, Friday, Sunday in three different cities, but, you know, day off in between, and that's what happens when you're the 9 seed. You don't get any sort of home court advantage or any sort of rest. That would be a very tough game one to go into Boston and win.
I am off to California for a few days, including a celebration of Passover. I will see you back on Wednesday, and then Thursday we leave for Detroit.
Can't wait, man. Draft coverage, speaking of Detroit, on the Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Thank you to Shane Reardon, our executive producer, Kevin Lapka, Connor O'Donnell, Twitch chat video stream. Thank you, sirs. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. Listen to Bulls basketball following us. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is the Score.
I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!